today we have with us, besides Giriraj Maharaj Govardhan Shila, we have Giriraj Swami Maharaj. Personally sent by Srila Prabhupada to preside over this occasion. And we also have His Holiness Sri Sachinandan Maharaj. His Holiness Nityodita Maharaj. To continue this beautiful boat festival for the pleasure of Giri Govardhan, we request Sachinanda Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj will both narrate the glories of Sri Govardhan Puja.
So we are about to hear the story of Govardhan Puja from Srimad Bhagavatam. Giriraj Govardhan is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as the best servant of Lord Hari. Although he is Krishna himself, but he also is in the mood of Krishna's servant. Just like Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but he is in the mood of Krishna's servant, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. But Giri Govardhan is also Krishna, in the mood of Krishna's servant, but just not Krishna's servant, but the servant of Radha and Krishna and all of the other servants of Krishna. So Giri Govardhan is extremely merciful, and he is ready to give mercy to anyone who comes to him, rich or poor, knowledgeable or ignorant, man or woman, elevated or lowly, but he is ready to give his mercy to anyone who approaches him. So now we shall request His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj to begin the story of Govardhan Puja, and Maharaj and I will alternate, or I should say he will speak and I will interrupt from time to time.
In one year, Maharaj Nanda, like in the previous times, called all the Karuna friends of Vrindavan and says, "We will now worship Indra Dev so that he continues to send showers of rains so that the pasturing fields will be saturated with sufficient water for growth, and our agricultural fields will be taken care of." And he ordered that all the arrangements for Indra Puja be made. Krishna, who was small at that time, saw this. And he came to Nanda Maharaj and said, "Nanda Maharaj, what is this preparation which is done in Raj?" "Oh, you won't understand this. You are too small for this. It is some worship. You please don't ask." "No, no," said Krishna, "I want to know. Amongst relatives, it is not customary that any secrets are held." So Nanda Maharaj told him, "My dear boy, here in this village, we are cowherders and agriculturalists. We are dependent on Indra for sending us rain, and we will worship him to ensure our ongoing cooperative relationship, that Indra helps us." "Oh," said Krishna, "this is actually not correct. we are not dependent on demigods. And then Krishna went into six arguments why worship of Indradeva should not be done. One of it is, Father, rain falls in the ocean. There was no one to do a puja and worship that is not necessary. How can you say that we are dependent on any outside agent? And then he said, what we are dependent of is our own good activities. And he preached Karma Mimamsa philosophy. It says that everything which we are experiencing in our lives is dependent on us as the causal agents. If we do good things happen to us. If we do bad things happen to us. And then in the end said, Krishna said, my dear father, let us look at it realistically. We are dependent on the Gravadan hill, because from the hill we derive sufficient amounts of grasses and herbs for our cows. From Gravadan we derive water. We are dependent also on the cows and on the land and on the brahmanas. Therefore, my dear father, let us take all the ingredients which we have gathered for the worship of this insignificant and unnecessary demigod Indra, to worship Govardhan and the cows, and let us do that. So Nanda Maharaj thought, and he thought and he thought, should he break an ancient tradition which was founded in Vedic Shastras and in the common practices of his ancestors? Should he just reject it and give it up because Krishna, his little son, who was sometimes stealing butter, said so? But Nanda Maharaj, being an unalloyed devotee of the Lord, did not have to think twice. He saw the beautiful face of his wonderful boy, and he decided, well, if Krishna says, we will do. And the arrangements there, they were diverted to the Govardhan puja. Now, you can imagine that the talk and also the practical consequences were a burning shaft in the heart of King Indra, who saw himself the independent ruler of this universe. Oh, his false ego was so much hurt. I heard one commentary who said he was kissing like a snake on whose body someone had negligently stepped. And he summoned all the clouds and the flashes which were employed by him during the time of universal cataclysm or destruction. And he said, you go to this boy, to this tract of land in Vrindavan, and you just destroy these villagers, and you just show them a good lesson who is the Lord and Master of this land. And then he began to talk about Krishna, calling him many, many names which he intended to be their name.
Sometimes we hear the stories from Srimad Bhagavatam, and someone might question, is there any relevance to the stories for us? And actually, there is. In the beginning, when Lord Krishna was inquiring of his father, he asked, what is the purpose of this worship? Is there any benefit we derive from the worship, or is it simply customary? The purport is that we should not simply engage in ritualistic activities or religious performances without any benefit. If we're simply performing some ritual for the sake of performing it without gaining anything, what is the use? So therefore, Krishna consciousness is very practical. When we engage in devotional service to Lord Krishna, we actually feel that we are benefiting. Actually, we are benefiting. And we can feel that we're benefiting. Sometimes persons go through the motions of some ritual, but they don't really feel anything. Because they don't really feel any transcendental pleasure, they remain attached to so-called material pleasure. But devotees who engage in the transcendental loving service of Lord Krishna, they actually feel transcendental bliss. And thus they lose interest in the so-called pleasures of material existence. One other point, sometimes when we approach persons with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, they raise the objection that in our family we have been worshipping Lord Shiva or Lord Ganesh or Durga, and they feel that they should not give up the worship which has been going on in the family for many generations. But here Lord Krishna is giving us the instruction that you need not continue some worship, even if the worship has been going on for generations in the family, unless the worship actually brings some real benefit. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna criticizes persons who worship demigods, that the worship is actually meant for him, but it is being offered in the wrong way. And at the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna declares, sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam saranam vraja, to give up all varieties of religiousness and take exclusive shelter of Lord Krishna. And of course, Giri Govardhan is Krishna himself, as will be revealed later in the pastime. But he is also Krishna in the mood of devotee. So we can also take the instruction that we should take shelter of Krishna by taking shelter of Krishna's devotees. By taking shelter of Krishna's devotees, all of our desires will be fulfilled.
Indra called Krishna, "You are simply a little child." He said like this, on the basis of what this little child said, the inhabitants of Vrindavan committed this great sin for which they need to be punished. He said, "Krishna, what is he? He's talkative." And then, in addition to this, he's extremely arrogant. But when he said it, Sarasvati put some other meaning in the word. When Indra said Krishna is a little child, it meant he's innocent without pretension, like a child. When Indra said he is talkative, it came out that Krishna is the source of all the Vedas. He has taught all the Vedas by just breathing them out. And when he said Krishna is arrogant, it means that everyone bows down to Krishna, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme object of worship for actually everyone. And for the words he speaks, that's a fact. So then something tragic happened. It began to rain and hail. The Gaga Sanghita, to make it a little bit more colorful, says that raindrops as big as elephants fell from the sky. or the rain had also another modification of raining. It came down thick as pillars, and soon you could no longer distinguish what was highlands and what was flatland. Everything became submerged by this deluge. It was terrible. The cows first began to give protection against the rain flood to their little calves by using their own bodies, but then it became impossible. The people of Vrindavan soon thought, we are finished if we don't get help. And to whom do the Vrishabhasis turn when they need help? Of course, to Krishna. Krishna, they called, hey Govinda, hey Gopal, save us. We are drowning in this deluge created by Indra. And then Krishna performed this wonderful pastime of lifting the Govardhan Hill. He went to the Govardhan Hill, and he uprooted it, and then he boiled it. On what finger exactly, Giriraj Maharaj?
The little finger of the left hand.
This is a very difficult task. So, boiled a whole hill on the little finger of the left hand. Prabhupada says he did this even without any previous experience in weightlifting. So he held it and invited the cowherdsmen and their families and the cows, in fact all living entities of Vrindavan, to come under this natural umbrella which he created. And he held this umbrella for 7 days and 7 nights. It's a wonderful lila because during these 7 days, a privilege was granted to the Vrajvasi, which was not granted before. They could see non-stop the beautiful form of Krishna. Krishna usually leaves the village of Vrindavan in the morning for cow herding and comes back late in the afternoon, and the cowherd boys and the gopis and all the inhabitants are very sad when he is pasturing the cows in the ground. But now they could see Krishna. And therefore, for 7 days, they did not feel any hunger and any thirst, because the beautiful darshan of Sri Krishna was fulfilling their hunger and their thirst.
If one thinks carefully about the pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, some questions may come to mind which have been answered by the acharyas. One question is that so much rain was falling on Vrindavan, even if Krishna held Govardhan Hill like an umbrella to protect the residents of Vrindavan from the rainfall, what would stop the rain from accumulating on the ground and flooding them underneath the umbrella of Govardhan Hill? So, Lord Krishna summoned his Sudarshan Chakra, which can burn like millions of suns. And the Sudarshan Chakra was simultaneously evaporating the water so that it wouldn't flood the residents of Vrindavan under the umbrella. Another question that could be raised is that Govardhan Hill is only about 7 miles long. It's just a medium-sized hill. And how could the whole cowherd community of Vrindavan fit under Govardhan Hill? So here also the acharyas give the answer that Govardhan Hill was in such ecstasy being held by the little finger of the left hand of Lord Krishna that he expanded. One of the ecstatic symptoms is one's body becomes elongated. So Govardhan Hill was in so much ecstasy, having the opportunity to serve Lord Krishna and his devotees and being directly held up by the lotus hand of Krishna, that his body elongated and expanded, and thus was able to give shelter to all the residents of the valley.
At this time, when Giriraj was, in ecstasy, becoming elongated, the cowherd men of Vrindavan developed a certain mood. We hear that this whole Leela is meant to destroy pride. In fact, Vaishnavas who suffer from the problem of pride, it's a common disease of the conditioned souls, encouraged to listen to this Leela so that the own pride is destroyed. Let us hear what happened. The cowherd men thought that Krishna is lifting this. He is a little boy. We are very strong also. Let us help him. And they took the sticks which are commonly used for herding the cows and began to pull that up and holding it so as to lift. But Krishna saw what was going on in his dear devotees. He is an expert in destroying pride. Maybe he has done this already in some of our own cases, and we can remember that. He is an expert. He takes this pride away. And what he did here is, he shifted by his mystic potencies a little portion of the weight on the sticks of the cowherd men. And when that happened, they were pushed down and crashed to the ground. Bah! Krishna smiled. He took responsibility for holding the whole mountain. It did not crash down and hurt anyone. But the weight itself came and smashed them. And they understood, oh no, Krishna is very unusual in this exhibition of strength. He is very, very powerful, our Gopal. And then this disappeared again, this impression of Krishna's strength, and they just looked at him with loving eyes. After 7 complete days and nights, Indra, the fool, had his pride efficiently crushed. He came personally on his elephant Airavata to observe the brutal operation X which he had started, and he saw that Krishna was happily holding the mountain and the Vrishbasis had no problem. And then after 7 days, it took a long time, he's really puffed up, he woke up and understood, whew, maybe I did a mistake here. And he ordered the clouds, he says, go away, this is magical, this is mystical, I did a mistake, just disappear, please, quick. And then Krishna was telling his cowherd men and friends and the gopis and everyone, please now leave the mountain. And then he placed it back on the place where it previously was. And then he said, my dear inhabitants of Vrindavan, let us now circumambulate the mountain and let us worship Giriraj Govardhan, because he is not different from me. After he had put the hill down, his friends came down and started to massage his left arm to give him relief. And they gave him refreshments. I think the gopis offered curd which was mixed with their tears of ecstasy. So Krishna said, now let us circumambulate Govardhan, who's non-different than myself. This is a very wonderful story, and we will now be enlightened about the continuation.
So Lord Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan began to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. Lord Krishna also ordered the residents of Vrindavan to prepare, well, they had prepared so many items for the sacrifice to King Indra, and he wanted the items to be offered to Govardhan Hill. Although there were literally mountains of rice, laddus, samosas, and other items, but within a moment, Giri Govardhan ate everything, and he began to ask for more. Anior, 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 bring more, bring more, bring more. So again, the Brijbasis cooked, and whatever they could prepare, they offered to Govardhan Hill. And again, within a moment, he finished everything. And again he began to cry, bring more, Anior, Anior. So again, the Brijbasis went to cook. And this time, whatever they had in their houses, they prepared. There was nothing left. And they offered everything they had to Govardhan Hill. But again, Govardhan Hill finished everything and was calling for more. So the Brijbasis were really in anxiety because they had already offered whatever they had to Govardhan Hill. But still Govardhan Hill was not satisfied. So then one Brahmin came forward. And he had the idea that we haven't offered Govardhan Hill tulsi leaves yet. Let us offer Govardhan Hill tulsi leaves, and maybe that will satisfy him. So Lord Krishna, on behalf of the Brijbasis, appealed to Govardhan Hill that whatever little we have already offered you. We don't have anything else to offer. So please accept this tulsi leaf and be merciful and be satisfied. So then Govardhan Hill accepted the tulsi leaf and was satisfied.
Then Krishna, to show that he is actually not different from Govardhan, actually that has happened before. He took on a big, big form in which he ate with arms. And then he was finally satisfied by eating the tulsi leaf. Then Krishna bowed down with all the inhabitants of Vrindavan to Giri Raj and offered prayers to show them. Giri Govardhan ki, Giri Raj ki, so premanandi hari ho. Now, there is also an afterplay. The afterplay was when everything was settled, everyone was back in the village. Krishna went to inspect the damage which Indra had actually created. And Indra took this opportunity to approach the Lord and beg him for forgiveness. He did not come alone, however. He first went to the planet where there is Mother Surabhi, and ask her, I have offended the cows. Please, you are so dear to Krishna. Come with me and speak on my behalf to get the Lord's attention. This, you know, when you do something very foolish to a great personality, you will ask someone, please, you introduce me. You tell him that I'm not so bad. I mean, I'm a little foolish, that's all. But no bad character is to be observed in my nature. So this is what Indra also did. So Surabhi came forward, Krishna received her, then Indra came also forward, and Krishna was not so happy because Indra had offended his devotees. But at the very end, the Leela ends with Surabhi, who gave Krishna a great abhishek with her milk, and also Indra was abhishek by Airavata, his elephant. Before that, Indra really prayed for forgiveness and he made himself very, very low. This is also what we have to learn. We may not remember if we were Indras or not, but we certainly have the bad qualification of being proud, of being deceived by our own false ego and rebelling against the service of the Supreme Lord. In fact, sometimes we might have become very disturbed by Krishna's worship. I remember once when we tried to cultivate Michael Jackson, the infamous singer of America, that we gave him a picture where Radha and Krishna are beautifully displayed as sitting on one of the rocks of Vrindavan. Radha is leaning towards Krishna. And Michael Jackson appreciated this picture, but in a wrong way. He said, "This picture is very nice. Please paint a new one, and instead of this bluish person's head, you put my head there, everything else remains." And we had to inform the fool that this is not possible, because no one can take the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This picture will be painted by the colors of his own offense, but he will not be instrumental in this. So this is the mode of the conditioned soul. We have left the Lord due to enviousness and decorated ourselves afterwards with pride. The Lord is not tolerating this pride in his devotees. We must give it up. The Vedic mantras start with Nama Om. Na means not, and Ma means ego. You cannot enter into the domain of real spiritual life if the false pride is not crushed. And therefore, it is very good opportunity on the sacred day of this the unusual Bodh festival to pray that our pride will be sufficiently, effectively, and once and for all be crushed into little pieces of dust, so that the mountain of false ego won't stand between us and the Lord any longer. This is one of the beautiful lessons which we can learn from this wonderful Leela.
Once Srila Prabhupada commented, placing himself as if he were one of us, that as soon as someone says, "Oh Swamiji, you are so learned," immediately I become puffed up. Actually, although there are counterparts in Chaitanya Leela for Krishna Leela, although the resemblance may not be complete, but still the resemblance is there. And there was a similar incident in Chaitanya Leela, where one devotee named Vallabhavata also suffered from pride. You may know the story that Vallabhavata was a learned scholar, and he wrote a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, which he considered to be better than the original commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam by Sridhar Swami. So the system in Jagannath Puri was that anyone who wanted to submit a piece of writing to Lord Chaitanya would have to submit it first to Swarup Damodar. And only if Swarup Damodar approved would the piece be given to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to read. So Vallabhavata approached Swarup Damodar, and he said in a very proud way that I have written a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam that surpasses the commentary of Sridhar Swami. So Lord Chaitanya was just nearby at the time, and so Swarup Damodar arranged, well, he explained what Vallabhavata had told him, and Lord Chaitanya replied that one who is not faithful to his Swami, and you know in Vedic culture, Swami, in Sanskrit language, Swami means master,
And in Vedic culture, sometimes the husband is referred to as Swami, or Master. So Lord Chaitanya told Saurabh Damodar to give the reply that one who is not faithful to one's Swami, and here there's a play on words, Swami meaning husband and Swami meaning Sridhar Swami. One who is not faithful to one's Swami is a prostitute. And how can I hear from a prostitute? So when Vallabhavata received the reply of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very disturbed. He would always enter the assembly of Lord Chaitanya's devotees to try to establish his superiority. But every time he was always defeated, and he felt very dejected. Like once he approached Advaita Acharya, that it is the duty of the chaste wife not to refer to the husband by name. So Krishna is the supreme master, he is the supreme husband, and we are all females, we are all meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So why do you address Krishna by name? It is not correct. So again, Lord Chaitanya was nearby and Advaita Acharya said, well, why don't we ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly? They approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he replied that the first duty of the chaste wife is to obey the instructions of the husband. And because Krishna has given us the instruction to chant his holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Our first duty is to follow his instruction and chant his holy name. Anyway, there's a whole story about the meeting of Vallabhavata and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the conclusion is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dealt with him in such a way as to smash his false pride. And when the devotees saw how Lord Chaitanya had smashed the false pride of Vallabhavata, they were all reminded of the pastime of Lord Krishna and how he smashed the false pride of Indra. Shri Giri Govardhan ki jai, Shri Govardhan puja ki jai, Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shri Navadvip Dham ki jai, Jitai Gaur Premanande.